John is open here, so we'll go to the book of John. The 13th chapter of John, read concerning the foot washing and communion. And supper being ended, the devil now hath put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray. What is supper? It's the last meal, according to my understanding. Brother Branham said, once he began talking about breakfast, lunch, and dinner, he said, I knew I lost a meal somewhere. He didn't like it. He said, I like my three meals. I like breakfast, dinner, and supper. What is supper? It's the last meal of the evening, of the day. All right, what day are we in? We're in the Laodicean day. It's the supper time. Songwriters talk about it. It's the last meal. What's the last meal? Spiritual food in due season. Where is that taken from? Hebrews the 6th chapter. Revelation 10, 1 to 7. Ephesians 1, 17 to 23. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, right down the line. Supper time. People sing songs and they don't know what they're singing about. We don't even sing a song. We know what we're talking about. Supper time. Supper time. Feast of the Passover. Yep. Supper having ended. The last meal. What happened? The devil puts into Judas, Simon's son, Judas Iscariot, to betray Christ. Okay? What spirit was that? That's the son of perdition spirit. Who was Christ? He was the Word. So now what at the end time happens? Betraying the Word. What does it say in Hebrews 6? Crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh, put in open shame. The betrayal. Just like then, now. Only today it's the Spirit. The Son of God. This was the Son of Man. Son of Man, Son of Perdition. Two distinct people. Now it's two distinct spirits. Two distinct ministries. Can't tell them apart. As far as, you know, the gifts are concerned, things like that. All look alike, all act alike, all got this, all got that. But one has the Word, one doesn't. Judas now has risen to take away the Word, to destroy it. Now the squeeze hasn't come down yet, but I believe there'll be a squeeze. Of course, you know the devil's trying to get it out of our minds anyway, and he'll do everything he can. But just keep going down that road like Brother Branham said, just believing with all your hearts. Now, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, He was come from God and went to God. You could say the same thing about the fact today that the Lamb took the book out of the Him that sat upon the throne and ripped the seals off and then climbed upon the Father's throne. Says, you know, we're getting right to the end, to where He says, you can sit with me as I sat down with my Father. Now, He rises from supper, laid aside His garment. Well, sure, we're having our last meal here. From the good word that came down from above, absolutely proven. And it isn't going to be too long until Jesus rises again to become the incarnator of Almighty God at the wedding supper. He that laid aside His garments, going to put them on again at the wedding supper. He pours water in a basin. Of course, water refers to the Word. Washed the disciples' feet, wiped them in the towel where he was girded. Then he comes to Simon Peter and said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? What I do now, he said, you don't know now, but you'll know hereafter. He said, you can never wash my feet because that would be too demeaning. He said, if I don't wash you, I've got no part. You've got no part with me. Now, if you want to know where that comes in at the end time, we got to get over here to Ephesians. And in the 5th chapter, it says here, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, in order that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church without spot wrinkle. That's today. I believe that process was through the ages, but definitely in this hour. Because you see, the presentation is this hour. So, all right. The washing of water by the word, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. And he said, if you don't let me apply the word, you don't have any part with me. That's true. That takes care of what we read with Brother Branham. Simon Peter said, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. And Jesus said, now hold it. You're going overboard. What did Brother Branham say? He never came here to preach the Bible or write a new Bible. He just came here to to preach what hadn't been explained and to correct the errors. That's washing the feet, you might say. And when all the errors are corrected and the little parts filled in, what do you got? Got a perfect bride. She's back to virgin. Said, no, he said, you're not all clean. He referred, of course, to Judas. So after he washed their feet, taken their garments and sat down, he said, do you know not what I've done to you? You call me master and lord, and you say, well, for I am so. If I then, your lord and master, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given an example that you should do as I have done. Now, if we spiritualize that and put that with the word, you can see here that the ministry of the word amongst the bride, even to people, is the greatest thing in the world. Is to bring into that word. Because if you don't, if you don't get them to God, you just think you do. Just won't work. Because John 3 tells us that. And not only John 3, the gospel, but over there in the epistles, it tells you the same thing. Paul says the same thing in Thessalonians, right down the line. So the servant is not greater than the Lord, neither he that is greater than he that sent him. See? So now, we have the foot washing, we have the communion. And Jesus said in verse 18, I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen. For the scripture might may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread and lift up his head, lift up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come to pass, that you may believe that I am he. Now what did he say about the end time? He said at the end time to be the son of perdition, the false ministers, all these things that you can believe that he is he. Everything here must be in complete parallel at the end time in the spiritual sense as it applies to this hour. This is Alpha. What I'm talking about is Omega. I've left a lot of things out of here, but you can fill them in yourself. Like last Sunday, I left a lot of things out. But you can fill them in by the little clues that you're given. In verse 20, verily I said, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. All right, who's here putting the church in order? The Holy Spirit's putting the church in order. Doing it by the revealed word to receive that. Now you're thoroughly identified and allied with Jesus Christ the Lord. So tonight, we see we're at the end time. And as we're at the end time, we ought to rejoice even more than these people rejoiced in their particular hour. Because what they had was the beginning. Like the middle, you know. Christ, the centrality of the cross. But it's the beginning to us, going back there. But through the ages, it's the Old Testament coming to the cross and the New Testament going back. But we're the Omega. We're the end of it. And you know that as much as the husbandman likes to farm, and as much as he loves to put the grain in, and to see the grain nurtured by the rain and the fertilized soil, to see it come up. Actually, there is no day like the day that he's got his crop in and in the garner, and he knows there's a good market for it. And you know, the Bible speaks of the end time harvest, whose span is in his hand, thoroughly purges for gathering the garner, burn up the chaff with fire unquenchable. And that's the end that God has in view, and we have in view at this time. And so therefore, it is no longer a matter of, am I going to see my fruit? Am I going to see a harvest? Am I a part of it? You know something? For the first time in 2,000 years, we're identified. If that doesn't do something for us, then I tell you, we are a little bit sluggish. We're a little bit sluggish. We're not spiritually aroused by what has gone on. Brother Branham knew that. He said, it's strange, he said. Just one time in Africa to see what you see in America, just one time, 30,000 would come to Christ. In America, just case it off, you know. So what? He said, it's become common. It's become common. I hope and trust by the grace of God that it'll never be in this church that this word ever becomes common. Or kata-la-di-da. Loses its edge. But that every time we come forth from Brother Branham here vindicated, it just opens up greater vistas. It puts a more feathered edge on the sword. It puts more spice and spark into what we are imbibing as this fruit in due season. Even though it becomes clearer every time, it doesn't lose its excitement. Actually, it's the constant clarity that provides the excitement. So may the Lord ever keep His word clear. Shall we rise at this time and the brethren come forward to give out the emblems. The Clismic Gear, when he wants to take over, I can say hallelujah. I think I can survive that quite nicely. I don't like to look beyond 92. In fact, I don't even want to see the end of 92. Hi, Mike, good to see you. Lord bless you. Glad you made it. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your love and compassion. And again, Lord, foot washing communion, an alpha witness to the Omega. And we marvel at it. And we appreciate it. And again, Lord, we know that only you in your infinite mercy can really make us appreciate it to the depths of the deep within us calling for that appreciation. And we know, Lord, it's only by the Holy Spirit that's coming through your word that makes us want to just flow into it. And no longer being a part of it in the sense of that which has been isolated over the years. But now all of it coming together. That great resurrection morning. The great crowning of that one that's in our midst now when he reincarnates himself. And we crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Brother Branham said, that will be the Son of Man, the Son of David, the Son of God. The altogether lovely, the Rose of Sharon, the all in all. Lord God, increase our excitement. And help us to increase each other's excitement. Until these bodies are no longer able to take the tremendous outraying of the Holy Spirit life word. And there'll be a transfiguration into immortality. The dead having come out of the ground, the graves, and all going to the wedding supper. Oh God, let there be rejoicing amongst us and within us, even as there is in heaven since those seals broke. And the time and eternity have blended. Now may each one take, Lord, of the emblems, and the service following, to the fullness of the Spirit's measure in this hour that's allocated to us. And not cease from anything less. The sweet Spirit of God loosed amongst us and with us to heal the sick, the afflicted, turn the captives free. For this is the hour of rejoicing and liberation. We give thee praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to sing to be dismissed at this time. By the way, sister, they tell me that Sister May Malinowski is must have the 24-hour flu or something. She was throwing up, not feeling well. So let's just join our hearts and our minds to concerning the things of the kingdom of God. The Bible said we're two agreed. It's done. I've seen that promise fulfilled many times. Heavenly Father, as we come to you to be dismissed, asking your rich blessing, your benediction upon us to take home in our hearts what we have received tonight, and may it turn into a living flame of fire. Guard and protect us, O God, we pray, bring us back in good health tomorrow to serve you more continually, to rejoice in your goodness, Lord, and to have the fulfilling life of the word come forth. Now, for our sister May, Lord, we're agreed tonight that whatever it is, Lord, we know that you're the healer. We pray in Jesus Christ's holy name as we abide by your word and agree together. This thing, leave her instantly now. Leave her body, Lord, may she be touched, and any other sick one amongst us, O God, to feel your presence and the healing power of our Christ, which we look forward to and rejoice in, and earnestly hoping that these days shall soon pass away, O God, and will be with you eternally in the physical flesh. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Take the name of Jesus with
you. Let me see. Well, I don't know. I just kind of feel to go back to John again. I get back and forth between 1 Corinthians and John. The 13th chapter of John. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which are in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now you know Jesus said, all that the Father shows me I do, and all that he tells me I repeat to you. And he said, it's not only that, but he said, the Father in me is doing the works. Now what is that spirit in our midst tonight? Well, that spirit, Brother Branham called Elohim, he called it different, called it Jehovah, called it many appellations. But we know this, at least I believe we do, according to 1 Corinthians 15. According to what Brother Branham said, when the Lamb tore the seals off the book, handed the book back to the Father, then the Father came down in Revelation 10 and 1, and he climbed upon the throne. I would say the one in Revelation 5 and 1, Revelation 10 and 1 is here. And I would say this, that same pillar of fire that was identified, he was Jehovah, he was Elohim, the same one that led Israel, I say that same one is here, because that pillar of fire is going to lead us into the millennium. And I would say this also, according to Brother Branham, would say, when that spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnate to us, we'll crown him King to King and Lord of Lords, and that'll be the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David, the altogether lovely, and so on. So what I'm looking at right here is, that when it came time for Jesus to depart, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. Now there's going to be a time when that one that's in our midst, that spirit, is going to depart. But praise the Lord, he's going to take us with him. Because he loves us to the end, and that's the end we're looking for. We're looking for the resurrection and the incarnation, the immortality, the resurrection within us, corruptibility putting on incorruptibility, mortality being made immortal. And supper being ended, the devil now put in the heart of Jesus Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now, what supper is ended? The supper on earth. But there's a waiting supper soon to come. Now, our supper on earth is just about ended, too. In other words, the spiritual seed, food in due season, the spread that God put before us, the fresh killed meat, all those things Brother Branham taught us, are before us. And remember, we will not get out of here till it's all ended. That word must come to pass. Now, let's not give ourselves over to folly, wherein we're going to try, as I said a little while ago at the start of the sermon, how some people don't understand that the solid rock foundation does not give way to emotion. Heat doesn't bother it. Cold doesn't bother it. What people do don't bother it. It just stands right there because it's rock, solid rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand, the rock of revelation. In other words, it doesn't have a thing to do with reasoning. It has to do with what it is. And that's what we're looking at, vindicated word. You see, we're looking at that. Now, these men, as I say, simply cannot wait for the word of God to be fulfilled. Now, what did Brother Branham say? He said, when the rabbit comes out of the pen, or the chicken comes out of the pen, it starts walking around looking for the hole that it came out of. Anybody ever do with chickens? Let me see. Sure, good. You ever notice when the chicken gets out of the pen, looking for the hole he got out of. And the stupid nut can't get back in. Most of the times, you grab to open the gate, or you grab him by the feet, and you throw him over the fence. You hope he lands on his neck or something. You're so mad at him by the time you chase him down, her down, so you see a hen. Who knows? Well, mostly hens, because they're the ones that lay the eggs. You don't need a lot of roosters around the place, because who needs them? You want eggs for breakfast. So you and a rabbit does the same thing. See? That's the Pentecostal. You got a Pentecostal nature, you're going to go back. I heard a man preach a fantastic sermon on 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. What did he end up as? Pentecostal preacher. Right back where he came from. Why, he said, you just can't live on that brand of message. He said, there's not enough to it. There's no excitement. How would you like to bend over while I used a double barrel shotgun full of rock salt on you? You'd get excitement. You know, how in the face of a messenger of that man's stature and what God did, how can you come up with such puerile, stupid arguments that you've got to have excitement? You're back to the secondary. Have you ever owned a second mortgage on a house? Forget it. Forget it. Second mortgage isn't worth the paper it's written on. Unless the guy's got a conscience and wants to pay you. Or you can wrestle him and get it from him. What do you want secondary for? Why trade in organization for a headship of God in our midst tonight? See, what I'm trying to show you, he loved them unto the end. The end is not yet, praise the Lord. And you'll get your portion yet, praise the Lord. In God's storehouse there is plenty, more than enough for 120, and you'll get your portion yet, praise the Lord. We sang that in Pentecost. Didn't know what we're talking about. Sure was good though. Now we know what we're talking about. We've got our portion. That which is perfect has come. Now let it be worked out. If it seems tedious, get to the word where the excitement is. I can just feel like a new man just studying these messages here. My aches and my pains start to go, and I feel like, hey, maybe I'll just survive until I get my change. Well, if the worms get me no different, God will get it back. Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God. Now, you see, what was at that time? Everything into his hands was concerning redemption. And he said, it's finished. It's over, this part. Knowing then that God would raise him, which he did. Now then, listen to me. All things are now committed to God concerning Jesus, who is looking for his kingdom. Who's down here putting the church in order? Elohim. God himself. What's he doing? Putting everything under the feet of Jesus, who's now on his Father's throne. And who comes back? He comes back incarnated, riding upon the white horse and the bride with him to take over. You see how things work out? You got parallel after parallel after parallel. Scripture fulfilling itself. You say Scripture fulfills itself? Yes, because the life is in the Word. That sounds strange, but it's true. You think, well, somebody's got to come along and do this. No, it's done. You ever hear self-rising yeast? Well, if it didn't rise by itself, it wouldn't be self-rising yeast. You know, that's, well, I just wonder how people think. Not that I'm thinking too well myself, but at least I think I got my head screwed on a little bit, right? See? Now God is bringing it all back to him. He rises from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girds himself. Now what do you got here again? Without belaboring this, you got God himself today laboring amongst his people to bring them to a perfection where every single one is made perfect, for they without us cannot be made perfect. Here we're going to be standing here and changed immortal, and he's going to take us all back into glory. Great presentation up there. God incarnates himself in that body once more. We stand there with the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. See, this is going on now because it is the last hour. Now, notice Peter says, hey, I don't think I'm going to let you do this. Now these people going back to Pentecost are saying, well, I don't think I'll let God work this out. That's a nice analogy. I think I'm getting out of here. Maybe the word analogy is wrong, but we're getting it out here. Huh, that's what they're doing. Well, I just don't. Why, I can't let the Lord do this and the Lord do that. Hey, if He's setting the church in order, we are not setting ourselves in order. He is setting us in order. I read where it says He's setting the church. Every member the way He wants it. You see, but you see, the devil got out of order. Now, people are getting out of order because they won't stay with that word. How do you think Eve got out of order? I'll tell you how. God walked off and left him. But he left them exactly right with exactly right so they could be exactly right. And Brother Branham said, you've got everything under those seals to put you in a rapture. Well, before the seals, you're in Pentecost. Now, that goes for all of you because this is the Pentecostal age of chat. Whether you spoke in tongues or not, forget. Lutherans are gone a long time. Methodists gone a long time. Pentecost. Now at the chaff age, the life is coming forth. And Peter said, hey, look, I won't let you minister. And Jesus said, well, then, he said, you never part with me. Now watch then what happened. Peter goes overboard. What I'm trying to show you, if you are an unstable person, you will simply be unstable, period. But if you are rock grounded in God with this word, you'll stand right there and let God perform what He wants to perform, knowing He is right and He's going to get us out of here. But you see what happened here? Impetuosity to the extent that man could not settle down and say, well, look, Lord, we've seen the vindication. Poor old Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas. Nobody told you this but God. You didn't get up except by God. Oh, he was happy. Then Jesus said, I got to die and suffer. And he said, far be it from you, Lord. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. But you know, Peter settled down. And maybe there's going to be much of settling down. Maybe I'm too pessimistic. I don't think I am. Not from Hebrews 6. I couldn't be too pessimistic. When they go back, they go back. He said, Brother Ben, maybe you never came up. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I just kidded myself. But I can understand this. Now, Peter swung wild. He said, let's start all over again. Oh, he said, Peter, hold it, hold it, hold it. What about the last days? For stammering lips and another tongue will be speak to this people, yet for all that they not hear, saith the Lord. See? What was it? Precept upon precept, line upon line, here little, there little. They got carried away with these other things. They would not stay with the Lord and the Word and settle down. Now he said, listen, you're all clean but one. He knew who was going to betray him. Brother Branham said, Jesus had his Judas, I had mine too. I think Brother Branham was very kind to just say he had one Judas. I think he had a whole fistful. They weren't in the front yard. They were sure in the backyard. After he washed their feet, and they're taking his garment, was set down, he said, you know what I've done to you. You know something? That's the way God always works through prophets. He manifested and said, you know what happened here? What is this all about? He said, no, tell me. And they tell him. That's a revelation. So here we are tonight in a foot washing scene. Our foot washing scene takes us right back to the beginning of what I explained and we saw in here. And we are living it right tonight, whether you want to admit it or not, because I'm going to tell you something. There is only one life. That's real life. And that's God. And He doesn't change. And so therefore, just must be the entire like a circle just moving and moving. And out of that flame shoots out what you might call a dominant role. Comes back in again. And at the right time, that same role comes forward. But He's only one God, with one mind, with one way. And it's laid out here so many times. And tonight, as I said, here we are at the end of time, just going right back to the beginning, only this time He Himself is here. That one that, not the flesh, but God Himself. And pretty soon, if we just hold with this, and remember, we have already been declared clean. He said, you're the righteous, virtuous bride, the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't even do it. See? So, all right, let's not swing this way and that way. Let's be rock-solid bride of Christ in the name of the Lord. Let's rise at this time, and the brethren come forward. We'll pray and consecrate the bread and the wine, and then foot washing immediately afterward. And you all know how to come beginning at the back. And the ladies, there's foot washing there. If you want to draw those partitions, you can. But the men won't be going back anyway, so you won't need to tonight. Heavenly Father, we want to approach your great throne of grace again, Lord, thanking you for the words that you give us, the understanding you put before us. We marvel at it, Lord, and we thank you. We certainly do. And now we're going to just rest in the fact that what you said counts. Not what we think, not what we say, not what we do. But it starts with, thus saith the Lord, and it stays with, thus saith the Lord. And we put it first, trusting by your grace that we can enter into the act of faith that lies before us and stay within the framework of the revealed word even as we do, so that you receive the glory and it becomes living word as never before. Consecrate these emblems, O God, to their intended use, which is to absolutely show forth your death until you come, and at the same time realize that the blood that was shed forth the life, and the life came back upon us. And we partaking are merely informing ourselves again of that which took place, and yet is taking place on the very grounds that the word tonight is actually, as it were, your body that we partake of and get life, and that life in that word suffuses us, Lord. We're looking for the great resurrection and the great rapture, not because of us, no, but because of you, Lord. And we take our stand with it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. Let's rise and be dismissed at this time, shall we? Heavenly Father, we want to praise and thank you again for your rich goodness toward us, Lord, knowing that what you prize very highly, your word, most men not just ignore, but they tend to battle it even as Satan did and even as the beast did. And then Cain, and then right on down through time, we see that that is the battleground, is over your word. But Lord, we know you're faithful to your word, and seeing that, then Lord, we take our side with your word. Help us to ever keep that in mind and know that what has been given to us under those seals vindicated, because it has been vindicated, then is enough to put us into the rapture. And we appreciate that tonight, Lord, and that's where the solid rock is. That's where the unchanging, reliable, almighty God yourself resides in that word. And having your word, then therefore, Lord, we know that we have you. We are on the Lord's side. Dismiss us with your rich blessing. Go with us tonight. Give us rest and peace and strength in our bodies, Lord, and bring us back more determined than ever. And from these days onward, more determined than ever to believe your word, to love your word, to serve you by it, and do whatever we can for each other. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, giving you the glory. Amen. Take the name of Jesus.
And the brethren come forward, and those that are going to play. So that we can just read the scripture, as we do like at something, a very short service. And then we can start instantly. And at the same time, the brethren, when you start feet washing, the foot washing service, there's at least six chairs in there. So that means that 12 men can go in there right off the bat and start washing feet in there. As the ladies go up the back there, they have ample place to wash feet, of course. All right. Are the brethren in order here? So we're going to be able to start right away. And Paul, of course, is talking here in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And he's talking about the table, Lord, for I have received the Lord that which I also delivered of to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he betrayed, took bread. Now remember here that Paul is delivering what God delivered to him. That's what William Branham did. And Paul was vindicated. Several places he tells it. Now, and he didn't know anything about this, God gave it right from himself. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, this do ye, as oft you drink it in remembrance of me. Now remember, there's going to be blood, old, and blood with the new, but remember the life of the, comes out of the blood in the New Testament, which it could not do in the old, and comes back upon the believer. Now, 26, for as oft you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. Now, there I want you to understand, you are showing the death of the Lord, and at the same time, you know that he is going to come. He that died rose, and he that rose sent forth his own spirit upon us, which one day is going to leave the earth, taking us with him, and then, of course, it's going to be all over. There's no more showing forth of death, because how can there be any death? Because we're immortal. And we come back with him to reign and rule 1,000 years and then progress further. And verse 27, wherefore whosoever eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthy shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. There again, I believe there's something telling us that we know what we're doing and why we're doing it. In other words, we do understand absolutely thoroughly and perfectly that Jesus Christ died upon the cross, and we understand perfectly and thoroughly that there is a word that comes with it. It's not just a matter of the shed blood. The blood was shed because of the word. The word was completely fulfilled. Today the word is fulfilled, and we are partaking in the understanding that we are a part of that fulfilled word of God. Now that's a very full mouthful, but it's the truth. And there isn't one of us that should partake of the emblem tonight except we believe that. We believe it. You, Brother Brandon, as I said, if you're one person in town makes it, you believe you're that one. If there's 10,000 people there, you believe. Don't let your faith down. See, all it took was two people like Caleb and Joshua. They stood up against everything. My, their lives are absolutely tremendous. They're men of faith. So let us examine himself and let him drink, eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthy, eateth and drinketh condemnation or judgment or, and that's greater than correction now. That's not just correction. Not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, many sleep. Now you notice many are weak and sickly. It doesn't say you're sick and then you become weak. There's a weakness there. Just like I said, the land is corrupted and the people get full of violence. That's why the world is so violent. There's nothing left in the soil. It's just made people like animals, vengeful, horrible creatures. Just depraved. No sanity left anymore. Insane. No politician can make a correct decision. The whole thing is gone, gone, gone. Long time gone. You'll never bring it back. God doesn't want it back. See, there's nothing there. So many people are weak because they simply don't discern what was accomplished through him who loved us and gave himself for us, rose again, and then came back to be crucified. You know, they crucify the Son of God on themselves. Now, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. In other words, if we would discern this and then look at ourselves in the light of the Scripture, and Paul in 2 Corinthians says the same thing. He said, a man looking in the Word of God, at the end time, you'll see Christ come right out in front of him out of the Scripture. And then he said, if anybody doesn't see that, he said, your eyes are blinded. Satan allowed you to be blinded. So at this end time, we must never forget that in our communion of the elements, in our communion with God and each other, it has to be on the grounds of the truth of Almighty God, which gives us that grace. If we don't have the truth, brother, sister, don't kid yourself. We don't have grace. I'm sorry, but if we gotta die and appear at the white throne, let's at least be honest. Right? We gotta be, because you and I aren't gonna lie. Oh no, Brother Branham read me. Listen, I know what white throne's all about. I stood right in front of it. Spirit of God. Bill Branham himself couldn't do it. You couldn't hide if you tried. You couldn't lie if you tried. Don't kid ourselves. It's no place to lie. He said, the God of this world blinded your minds. If there isn't truth, there isn't any grace. And if you are a recipient of grace, you are a recipient of truth. So let's remember that tonight. Let's bow our heads so we can proceed to the service. Heavenly Father, we want to sanctify these elements, these emblems, Lord, from you given us as a memorial to each and every one, Lord. We stand apart amazed at your goodness, that you allow us to do this. And you told us what it was all about, to remember your death until you have come. Now we know that you've already appeared, but we know that the real true second coming has not yet occurred, because at that time, at the incarnation, right at the wedding supper, for all we know, there'll be the two emblems right there laid again. I believe that would be perfectly in order, according to what could be the truth, Lord. And we're looking forward to that great day when we eat and drink with you in the kingdom of Almighty God. Maybe it'll come down to earth. All of these things are going to be there. We appreciate it. But tonight, Lord, we want you to cleanse us of every thought that is contrary to the truth as the prophet brought us, so that we can truly discern the truth, the real body of truth, the real body of Christ, who said he was the truth, and thereby take the emblems in a real spirit of truth and of grace, giving you the glory. And I believe, Lord, that you hear us tonight, because our hearts are truly in tune with what our mouths are saying. We desire this, Lord, above everything in the world. And we know it's not a matter of anything but a gift.
If the sheep, we are sheep, Lord, we hear the voice, we follow it. If we walk in the light, as you're in the light, we have fellowship, and the blood cleanses. Let that be our portion, not as we partake. We give you the glory in Jesus' name, amen. The brethren then will start moving. The rest of the folk can start coming from the back as you do normally. Because one day, hopefully not too far off, we'll have a better and a higher service with the Lord. So let's rise and be dismissed at this time. Heavenly Father, we want to again praise and thank you for your kindness to us. You've shown your mercy to us, Lord, but you've also shown us that great thing which is grace and truth, knowing that without truth there wouldn't be any grace. And it's your grace, Lord, that you gave us that truth. We praise you that we can't be separated. We wouldn't know one started or the other stopped. But we know, Lord, that you are blessing us and caring for us, and we're coming more and more into the image of that word by your grace, by truth, Lord. For we looked in the word as a mirror, and we've not seen ourselves, but we've seen you, and seen our inheritance in you, and see our beginnings in you. And by the grace of God, by the truth given to us, predestinated, vindicated truth, we not only see that, but we see our the end, the ultimate, O God, placed with you, Lord, in that great city. We believe that otherwise, why would we have been given that truth and we avail ourselves of it? We believe that we're sheep, Lord, you are our shepherd. As we go, Lord, go with us, we pray, to give us churning mercies, a good night's rest, for health and strength, with one thing in mind, to come back to worship you, to serve you by serving others, to love you by loving others, to walk in the light, having fellowship one with another, especially with you, Lord, in the blood cleansing us from all sin, going on moment by moment, day by day, with healing in your wings, Lord, spread over us. Unto the King, eternal, immortal, and visible, we give the glory in Jesus' name, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. Sisters are served as they come through with the brethren. You know how to go up in the back room back there, the fellowship hall. There's a good place for the foot washing for the sisters. And the men don't quite have that privilege. We wait till we all have communion. And then they start. There's room back here also for them. So, all right, the brethren are here, are they? Let's ask the Lord to bless the elements. Heavenly Father, once more we thank you for your love and mercy, and we thank you for the privilege we have. You've already heard our prayers concerning it. May it come to pass, O God, we would love that, and we trust you love it, and together, Lord, by mutually bringing our hearts together, O God, as the prophet said it already was that way, may it be, O God, tonight, may it be. You will receive the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Floyd.
I'm going to ask for just a little bit of help here because, like the first row of people here, we want to take these seats.
Well, I believe tonight we've seen the answer as never before to the question that Paul brought rhetorically. This is, if God is not pleased, why does God have anger? If God's doing all of this, and he said, who art thou, man, to reply against God? And I believe I see the answer tonight more clearly than ever, that God took full responsibility. If he took full responsibility, then all man has to do is to just believe it. And that's exactly what the truth lies in. If you let your thinking go, you can see so many more things come out of the truth. And I believe it is the truth. Let's rise and be dismissed. Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, you can sleep in tomorrow and have a good sleep tomorrow night fellowship. We'll come back on Sunday. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you for your kindness to us, the love in the brethren's heart, the sister's heart to come together here. We count it a great privilege and a great honor, Lord, that people should esteem a little place like this and your servant here to such measure to come here to be with us. We thank you for it, Lord, and we pray God's richest blessing upon them. Let their ears and their hearts be open, Lord, and their minds and their bodies receive also that which is in the word for them, Lord. And may we all go on together in being your bride, Lord, and come up to the full measure of grace and the true fulfillment of your word, Lord. Knowing now that as never before, perhaps, how responsible you are for us, Lord, and how we ought to rest and relax in that responsibility and be truly responsive to you, O God. Dear obedient children, that's the way it is. More like the prophet getting out of the way. Help us, Father, because this is the desire of our heart. Now, Father, go with us and give the people good rest, we pray, Lord. May those who have driven a long time just go into a slumber that they didn't realize how deep and how sweet and how revitalizing it could be, O Lord. We've tried so many things in this life, but tonight, Lord, may every single one try you, Lord, that you give your beloved sleep, because you neither slumber nor sleep as you watch over us. Unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, who gives peace in the heart and keeps that heart, unto him be glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Heaven, what I quoted tonight, Paul said, I did not get this from Peter. I did not get this from from James, John, or anybody else. You notice over here in Corinthians, I beg your pardon, Galatians, the first chapter, he distinctly said, but I certify you, brethren, the 11th verse, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by man, see, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus Christ himself revealed his word, just the same as John himself had a vision. And in these visions, book called Revelation, John became a scribe. But it was not so with Paul. It was not visions, although perhaps he had visions. He tells it he did, of course. But he does not call this a vision. He calls this the way a prophet gets the message, the lip to ear, the eye to eye. See, he actually heard God. Saw him in the pillar of fire. He said, I was taught it. Everything I'm telling you. Now going back then to 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I've received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he given thanks, he broke and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you, this during remembrance of me. Now, Paul the Apostle did not get that from Peter. He did not get it from hearsay. He got this directly from God himself, with no man intervening. God came down. And Brother Branham said, the same pillar of fire that brought the word is here revealing it. I want to ask a question, then, who did it? He said, here, I got it from Jesus. Here's what he told me, the Lord Jesus, which is Lord Jehovah, Almighty God. There aren't two gods. Don't ever think there is. There's one God. He said, take it, this is my body. Verse 25, after the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This duty is oft to drink in remembrance of me. Now, that was revealed to him. Now, he'd heard different things about it, of course. Lots of crazy, blasphemous things that they'd sneaked away the body of Jesus and were cutting little hunks off and eating it. But I don't know where they got the blood from, because they know the blood drained on the ground. Unless they worked some little magic, they couldn't get the blood out of the ground. Any more than you can drink water that's built on the ground. So whenever Paul heard, he sure got corrected right here. And this is what God himself told Paul. Now he says, off ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he come. Now which coming is he talking about? The only coming he can talk about is what Jesus talked about. He said, we'll do this anew in my kingdom. And that was what they were looking for, which is in the millennium, without a doubt. You say, well, let's go to the New Jerusalem. I don't know, it's possible. What's to stop it? The Lamb's on the throne. And the Lamb signifies the crucified one. So who's to stop it? Like I said the other Sunday, you go right to New Jerusalem. The tree of life that bears 12 manner of fruits. And the leaves are for the healing of the nations. And Brother Branham said, that's to keep peace. If you have a bunch of rocks sitting up here, what's to keep peace? There's no devil, there's no flesh here. What's to keep peace? You shrug, you don't know. The answer, as far as I know, further sanctification. What's being sanctified now? Your minds. If you can't give your minds over to God, you'll never understand the word. Brother Branham said, get rid of your own thing, you ain't got a thing coming. Let your mind be impregnated by this word. And when it does like a womb, it'll close up to any seed. Now listen, the womb was opened in the first church age in Ephesus. But in the last age, it's closed. It's over. That's why you can walk to the tree of life, standing right up in the condition you're in. Because believe it or not, though your flesh is here to be tested, you come to the place where the mind can completely glorify God. As Paul said, in the mind and in the spirit, and it trickles down to the body. Because that's the temple of the Holy Ghost. You say, man alive, that's a pretty shabby dump the Holy Ghost lives in. No, not really. It's got to be pretty good for God to shed His blood and bring it back again. I wouldn't run it down if I were you. In fact, my Bible tells me a man should cherish his wife like he cherishes his own body, because no man hates his own body, but loves it, nourishes it. Who are you going to believe, God or yourself? The renewing of the mind brings on a transfiguration. Transfiguration means transformation. Transformation means immortality. Looking in the Word. The perfect Word of liberty. What is that? You're liberated. It's in the Spirit now. And that Spirit given us takes the place of the word body we missed, or we wouldn't sin. No temptation. Now what's a great temptation? To get off the Word. Everybody thinks it's what you do. Brother Brandon categorically says smoking, lying, swearing, those are only attributes. Sin is unbelief. So if you come to the place of perfect faith, which he talked about, which is the vindicated message, I believe it, there's nothing else but it, and you see it, how are you going to miss it? Anyway, there it is. That's Revelation. The Lord's Supper is part of it. Show His death till He come. Come in His kingdom. Bring it anew with Him. The Bible said so. What's that going to be? Abraham with Melchizedek again. Because God incarnates Himself in Christ and comes down here. God only disincarnates Himself in New Jerusalem. Lamb on the throne, pillar of fire above the throne. So why would He do it? Why don't you mind your own business? Just believe Him. See what happens? Mess up every time. Well, why do they make crazy things up here? That's my business. Mind you, mind your own. You get up here. I'll leave the building. Be honest with you. See, you've got to remember, listen, brother, it doesn't matter too much with the vessel, like long as there's what's coming out of the vessel is real. You look at me, you can be thrown for a loop. So look at the Word. You're supposed to look in the Word to see Christ. And when you truly see Christ, you will see yourself. Perfect identification, Brother Branham brought to us. You know, people just don't believe the prophet, that's all. Hold it. Hold it. Here, but not there. Well, here, but not there. Always there. Always there. Always there. No matter how far He takes you, further the better. Because one day we'll be taken so far, we can't afford to walk back and it just take us home. Yep. Like Elijah. When he crossed over Jordan, man, he went straight up. Many people don't want to go the waterway because they're afraid they're going to drown. Listen, don't be afraid to go the waterway. That's where the life is. I hope you're catching what I'm saying. I'm repeating Brother Branham. What he brought us, Ezekiel's vision of the waters flowing out of the eastern gate, to the ankle, to the knees, to the hips, water to swim in, waters to carry you over. Let a bride come in, stand on the waters of separation. Oh, yes. Just taking the Lord's Supper. The perfecting of the blood that we honor tonight. The glorifying of the life, which we know came from the one who was here. How could you be baptized with the Holy Ghost and not say amen to every word God Himself is giving us? Oh, my, my, my. Wherefore, whosoever eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of Christ. That's an unworthy manner. Well, now the unworthy manner, of course, at that time, was not only just besotting themselves in what they called the love feast before they took the Lord's Supper. That wasn't it. He had to bring out the truth of the Lord's Supper. They just
weren't with it. They didn't have the revelation. They weren't getting it. That's why Brother Branham said that you should really be full of the Holy Ghost to take the Lord's Supper. But that's, you know, between the believer and God. Nobody could need to really prove you got the Holy Ghost except you believe the prophet's word, and then 2,000 people are going to come against you and say, you're lying, you're all mixed up. Between you and God. I believe that we have the truth. I speak this for all of us. I don't believe anybody needs to be afraid. We're not unworthy taking the word and the communion table tonight. Let a man examine himself. So eat that bread and drink that cup. For the warning is, you eat unworthy. You drink condemnation. Judgment, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many weak and sickly among you. I believe the hour is coming, brother, sister, just like it was back there when they came out of Egypt. That Brother Branham continually prayed, let there not be one sick one amongst us. I believe that day could absolutely come in our hour. Not one more sick person. Well, there won't be if you're going to go make the rapture, I can tell you that. You'll be anything but sick. Think of some of those folk that have gone on before. Husbands leaving their wives, parents leaving their children, and so on. See him come up the path. Oh, yeah. They'll seek you out. You know that? They will. Actually seek you out. To make themselves known. For 30, about 40 days. So you get to know each other and everybody who made it. And then after the 40 days, all eyes are going to be on Jesus Christ. When that Spirit in the midst incarnates himself. Crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. Lily of the Valley, the Rose of Sharon, the altogether lovely. And all those wonderful names that signify his worthiness, his uncomparable dimensions, the only blessed potentate. A lot of potentates, this is a blessed one. All wise God. And you'll crown him. And you'll say, hey, he was what he said he was. Can you believe that that's what he said he was? Can you believe that is actually Matthew 12? Well, it's got to be. All right, let's rise. Brethren, come forward. And start the song service right away. You all know how we have the Lord's Supper here. You just kind of watch everybody and it'll work out just right. So let's ask the Lord to bless the elements. You know how we come? You split here on two sides. There's one person with the bread and two people with the cup of the wine. So that it moves faster. The ladies all go out in the hall back there for foot washing. The men stay here till we get things a little more lined up for the men, which we've got plans now to help them out. Heavenly Father, as we partake of these elements tonight, these emblems, we know, Father, that they would not be an emblem except there is a reality behind it. As every single thing we see here in this world is a perfect picture containing exactly what was there in the beginning, so now we have an emblem which signifies exactly what was there and is there, which is the shed blood stands for us. And the life is here to lead us in, not only the baptism, but the giver of life himself in our midst at this end time, even as it was in the beginning. And Father, we appreciate that tonight, that we're standing on reality. We're not standing on symbols. Those symbols we do have, that's just to remind us and to keep us. Just like you said back there, now bind these words upon your brow, put them upon your wrists, put them around your ankles so you'll always be aware of it. And so you gave us these sacraments that we would be aware. And Father, tonight, I don't believe for one minute that it can be said that this does not make us aware. It's not just mechanics, it can't be. There's got to be some dynamics, the element in it. And how true it is when you said, do this till I come and we'll drink it anew in my kingdom. We know your kingdom is here in the sense that everything is in you who are present tonight, and you've guaranteed the completion of what you started, even as Paul said, that I'm absolutely sure that he which hath begun a good work in me, I'm confident, will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, right up to the millennium. There won't be one hitch and one miss, nor will there be. So we thank you for this great privilege of further having fellowship together, not only around the word of admonition, concrete understanding, but around this act of worship also, bringing us more and more into the channels of what Brother Branham said. How can you not help love each other, you that love this same word? Lord God, it's got to be that way. It's got to be that way. Somebody's got to have it, Lord. If we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. But tonight, Father, we're counting. It's got to be with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Brother Lloyd. Brother Graham just said we should be careful going home because evidently there's flooding conditions outside there. Some of the roads may be flooded over. So it'd be very good to be very, if there's anything on the road that looks deep. Don't turn around and come back necessarily, but, you know, just really watch it. You know, I was just talking about, you know, during the service how that I've got a patience that's unique. And it is because I can wait for answers. But sometimes, in ordinary life, my answers surprise me because I wonder how I could be so dense. And I've been going through my head and going through my head and going through my head, which isn't much of a head. You know, like the fellow said, I've seen better heads on a cabbage stem. But wonder how we're going to help the men to get a better place for foot washing. By next communion, it's solved. There'll be at least as many as 40, let's see, 10 chairs on both sides will take care of 20 people. That's 10 couples and 10 couples. So instantly leaving here, we're going to put one of those nice curtains, like I mean, that folding door, like in the back for the women, right across the foyer. Should have thought of that how many years ago? 2, 3? So just blame me. But next foot washing communion, the men are going to have a place also. And then what's needed here, it'd be facilitated and everything would be so much better. So we thank the Lord that even though we're slow, He isn't. He, the answer was there all the time. So we appreciate it. And we'll get it done. They're working on it right now. And everything's going to work out just fine. Appreciate seeing some of you here that have never had foot washing with us, communion, up until now. I really appreciate that because it's an ordinance of God. It's a commandment. And it does something. God never has anything in the universe that isn't just right. So how much more in His... what He wants us to do is an ordinance. Let's rise and be dismissed. Watch the run going home. Heavenly Father, we're departing to go home, thanking You, Lord, for Your goodness and mercy to us, which we do appreciate. Be with us, Lord, as we launch out to go home. We pray if the roads are bad or anything, we'll be very careful. And You will help us, O God. We know that You're here to help us, Lord. And may no matter how bad things are, which we know that won't be bad for us because You'll take us through. Our eyes are on You, Lord. Our hopes are set on You. And in God we trust. So now, Lord, as we go again, we just thank You for Your goodness, Your protective care, and all those things that are so rich and beauteous. And now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. Before foot washing communion, and you will notice we have a nice curtain hung in the foyer. And there'll be chairs out there so that as the ladies can go right to the foot washing, so can the men. As the women go through the two swinging doors to the foot washing, the men will go to their right, and then when they're in there, they can pull the curtain, and there'll be, you can maybe take, what, 30 people or one crack in there. Well, up here, we'll be able to even out the foot washing service and make it much better for everybody. And remember again, when you go up, there's one brother with the bread, but there's two lines for the cup of wine. So remember to split. Just watch carefully what line is here. And you come down. We start from the back there, come all the way down. Then down at the back, starts all the way. When this is finished, then starts there. We end up on the right-hand side. And you go out that door, and women instantly go to the foot washing. The tubs are there. Men to the right. And everything is just fine. We're, you know, after years, you finally realize the old Dutch saying was true. Too late, what is it? Too late, we're smart. You know? Too soon, we're old, and too late, we're smart. Anyway, things are getting much better as far as our disciplines are concerned, and that's very important. All right, it says in the 13th chapter,
Now, before the feast of the Passover, now notice again, before the Passover, and remember, Christ is our Passover. See? Now, when will the people really, 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 and I mean really, know that Christ is their Passover? Passover lamb, the shed blood for sins, that covered the sins of David. And, hey, by the way, did you know Brother Branham said he really thought that David was the greatest person, the greatest prophet in the whole Bible? Yeah, he said that David was the greatest in the estimation. You know why? Because he was the father of Jesus, you know, in the flesh, in the type. I always thought Moses maybe was. Interesting how you find these little goodies. So, David's a big guy. And I'm happy with that. Oh, very happy for a very carnal reason. I don't think he'd do much worse than he did. I'm not aiming for this, you know, any of these bad things. I'm just saying, my God, I mean, there's hope for me. There's hope for me, yeah. Anyway, the Passover. How do you know that he's your Passover? When you see him. Right? When you're going to see him. When you're changed and go to the wedding supper. When the Spirit amongst us becomes incarnate to us. Now listen. When did this communion take place? Before the Passover. When do we quit taking this? We can't take it anymore. We're changed and gone. Now, what about these guys that said you don't take communion? It's even told of us we don't take communion here. Some of the churches up north, especially what I got in mind. Where did you get those lies from? By a certain preach they've been listened to over the years. I got his sermon. I threw it away, but I can get it again. He's supposed to be preaching this message. And he tells a dream of a boy and preaches on it as though it's real. The gospel truth. I never listened. If I could take Limburger cheese, what's that stuff that Nicole used to make over there in Van Wert? Horrible smelling stuff. Yeah, well, they made Limburger and they made something else over there too. If you rub that on the exhaust of your car and turn the motor up, it would smell sweet roses alongside of some of this stuff that guy preached. I thought that Christ, the rose of Sharon crushed, brought forth a sweet odor. Do you mean to tell me the one that's crucified, we unto ourselves, this end time church does bring forth an odor that is contrary to the word of God? My brother, my sister, that cannot be so. To preach anything other than Brother Branham preached is heresy. That alone is vindicated. Yeah. Oh, we're coming to Christ our Passover. We're already outside the camp, honey. Another couple of days, another couple of foot washings, another couple of communions, right to the marriage supper. Hell, I'm not lying to you. I could tell you something to prove I'm telling you the truth. I won't tell you. Later on, I'll tell you. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not up here making fun, brother, sister. If I did, I ought to shut up and sit down, confess my sins, and ask God to take me off the earth. No way. Now it says here, just before the Passover, the great feast coming up, we really know our Passover. He's raised from the dead. We're raised with him. Brother Brand say, hallelujah. When Jesus knew his hour was come that he should depart out of this world, and we know our hour is coming too, having loved the world, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. That's that love that Brother Brand spoke about. He said, now, if you really love this word, you'll sure love each other. How much word's missing somewhere? Love has a lot to do with your brothers, is what you got in mind and how you treat the things that are there. Supper being in, did the devil put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him? Jesus, knowing the Father, had given all things in his hands, that he was come from God and went to God. Now listen, that's before the Passover now. Now come on, what's God doing today? Watch. Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He came from God and went to God. Okay? What do we got over here? 1 Corinthians 15. Now Christ risen from the dead, become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all be made alive. But every man his own order, Christ the first fruits, after they are Christ at his presence. Then what then cometh the end? When he shall deliver up the kingdom to God. Now that's the end. But before then, what's happening? God is putting everything under his feet. So therefore, everything now is delivered into the hands of Jesus again at this time for the Gentile church. Oh my, if you can't see how the Bible runs in continuity, just weaves back and forth, Alpha, Omega, Alpha and Omega, what was, is, and will be right now. Hey man, listen. We never get this except for the prophet. Nobody would know what we're talking about here this morning except a little group to please the prophet. Notice, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. What's he going to do? He's going to get off the throne pretty quick now and meet us in the air. You know what happened? This one, God incarnates himself in him. Everything's under this one's feet. You know what he does? For 3.5 years with us, he just looks down and watches you make a big mess out of things. You know why? He's in perfect control. Well, he's in control with all this going down here 3.5 years. Oh, my brother, my sister, absolutely in perfect control. He's not going to do their thing to the very end. No problem. You know something? The higher the water got under Noah, waters of tribulation, trial and all, the closer he got to heaven. The more he was in God's power. So that we're up there. Now the earth, we don't care what happens down here. We can sit at the wedding supper and just say, let them do what they want to do. Hey man, let them go ahead. And the devil's having a heyday. Death is having a carnival. Puts his garments. Now what's he do? He girds himself. Pours water in the basin. Washed disciples' feet. Now somebody, I don't know where this guy got this from, but I just read the other day that he said this word washer meant communion. I don't know if that rang the bell or not, so I got my concordance out. It doesn't say that. But it's a nice thought. Nice thought. Because if you wash somebody's feet, you sure are in communion with them. You're communicating. And communicating by way of the feet is very good because these were dirty feet. Like Brother Branham said, Jesus with dirty feet. But I'm looking at something different here. I'm looking at the fact that this one who was at the first wedding, yeah, right, he supplied the wine. He that was greatest of all became servant of all. Now I want to ask you one question. Can he change? And the answer is no. So he's still servant. And what's he going to do at the wedding supper? We're going to take anew with him all the things we're going to take for the first time, really, everything we really wanted. And he's going to minister to his people. Even as he's doing now, spiritual food in due season. Notice pouring the water in the basin. That's something you can get your hands on, your feet into. Well, that's good. But today, there's waters to carry us over. Oh, yeah. We have a little basin tonight. That's just symbolic. You know the first thing was the waters came to the ankles. How deep did you put your feet in those basins? Ankles. Symbolic. Ha! Here's where it started. Watch where we're going. Waters to carry. Why? People get scared of water carrying. This might carry me away. Oh, praise God, this water is going to carry the right place. It's going to from the eastern gate here to the eastern gate of the holy city itself, New Jerusalem. Oh, yes, marvelous. He pours water, washes their feet, wipes them with a towel, wherewith he was girded. I like that. The word gird has a special significance, not only of the application of a covering, but a strengthening. And I see today God strengthened. God manifesting himself greater than he ever did. For he said, he that believeth could do greater works than even these. And Brother Branham said he had more success in my ministry on earth than he had in his own. So we're seeing that right today. Now why is he girded? The Bible speaks of this great one girding himself.
You know what? You know part of that girding is? He's girding himself with his saints to come back here and take over. Oh, not that he needs us, but then again, he does need us. He wouldn't be full without us. Where would it all be without us? Where would we be without him? And the question comes, where would he be without us? It's reciprocal. This is what makes the union. The male and the female, so to speak. This is your type, bride and groom. As a body becomes the female, as it were. Then you notice how the bride of the end time produces, like Abraham and Sarah, the one coming in flesh. It takes God to come down here and liven the bride, to bring her to the days of her youth where she's pure virgin, and she will bring forth that one. Oh, yes, absolutely. As Isaac went out to meet his bride, ho, ho, he's coming down to meet his bride. Meet him in the air, clouds of glory. I feel real Pentecostal shouting, Holy Ghost Methodist, not Methodist, forget it, Baptist. I'd sooner have a Baptist that has a little bit of wine than a Methodist. All he knows is prohibition. He prohibits the Holy Ghost even. You don't believe that. Hey, I come through that stuff. Don't tell me I'm a Canadian by birth. Presbyterian to begin with. Went with the Methodist. Hoy, yo, yo, talk about a hybrid. She, the first political church, CCF, Christian Commonwealth Federation, headed up by Baptist preacher Douglas in Saskatchewan. We've got some Canadians here. If you don't know the history, I'll teach it to you. Huh? You bet your sweet life. You're talking an old timer. I got roots clean back to God. Old. I better have. You better have too. Yes, sir. And Simon Peter comes along. He said, Lord, you're going to wash my feet? I don't think you should. Jesus said, what I'm doing now, you don't know, but you'll know later. I says, anybody here ever knew what Jesus was doing when he did it, except somebody explained it later? Nobody ever knew it. Now look, we're coming to Passover. We're coming to see him who is our Passover. The resurrected one, trusting in his blood, commemorating it, washing feet, Catholic communion, whatever you want to call it. Tonight I'm putting into the order that the little basin to the ankles signifies, hey, what started back there is a rolling river to carry us across. Not waters to swim in, no, no, no. Waters to do the dead man float you. Don't even wiggle a finger. Don't have to steer yourself. Oh, that's Sush Lee Dale, 100%. I dream about that. Maybe I'll tell you, maybe not. I just say one thing about it. Hey, it's dark, but you'll get there. It's a little scary. But nothing's depending on whether we're brave or not, brother, sister. Depends on him. Like Brother Branham said, he told you, he said the stabilizers are on the craft that's going over. They've been set. He didn't say, now bless God, here's for the mill stream, here's for the pond stream, here's where it's just like the sea of glass. He said, we're going to crest every way. And bigger. This bark isn't going to bust the piece and go down, brother, sister, like they do in the Great Lakes and places like that where they don't figure things out. We're cresting every way. Don't worry about the blue lagoons and everything else. We're looking for the crystal sea. Yes, sir, the tree of life. Yes, so this is very, very, very much a little tight we're talking about tonight. And so Peter said, well, he said, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, you don't have any part with me. Then Peter said, well, he said, Lord, not my feet only. Notice this guy's pretty extreme, but I like his extremity. I like how extreme it is. He said, Lord, give me a complete bath. And Jesus said, no. You don't need that. He that has his feet washed. Now listen, foot washing then is very, very symbolical. Now remember, the image at the end time, which is the church, starts with the feet and goes to the head. Never, never forget the stone that was laid, the foundation corner, is the one that's coming down to meet us and is called the capstone. And he's here right now in the form of the Holy Spirit. And the washing of our feet signifies we are one with those people whose feet at the time of Luther were simply up to the ankles. But I want to tell you, brother, sister, this bride signifying tonight, we're saying, Lord, we've got waters to carry us on. Why, what is it mean? He's answered
Peter's prayer. Oh, you say, what was Peter's prayer? Oh, I'm glad you asked me, because I wanted to tell you anyway. And it says over here in the book of Revelation, in the 22nd chapter, blessed are they who wash their robes, have the right to the tree of life. Oh, it's over here in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Where's Ephesians? It's over here somewhere. I think it's before the book of Philippians, isn't it? In the 5th chapter, I think it tells us here. And it says here, oh, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, holy and without blemish. So men ought to love their wives, their own bodies. Why? Because Christ loved the body and he's washed it for the presentation. You know what? We may, brother, sister, start out with a little mud in the basin tonight. Yep. The water's to the ankles. And when it gets to the knees, the water's not so dirty. It's not so muddy. And when it gets to the thighs, oh, it looks pretty clean. Even sees our toes now and there. And pretty soon the water rises. It's crystal clear and takes us over. I believe foot washing can symbolize that tonight. All depends on how your heart is. All depends on my heart is. Let's pray. Let's rise. And before we pray, let the deacons come forward. And those that are going to play and what have you. And they will take the Lord's Supper first. And remember again, the ladies go and the men also go now. So their service is a little more efficient. Remember, there's one for the bread and two cups for the wine. Gracious Heavenly Father, we've certainly appreciated your goodness to us tonight. If we didn't have any more than just a good spirit amongst the brothers and sisters here, Lord, too. But we believe it's more than that. We believe, Lord, it's that word, the life that's in the word, as we try to come to grips with the reality of it so that there can't be any mistaking of this and that and the other thing, Lord, but just hew right to the word of the living God. And then, Lord, finding these things that are in your word to bless us, Lord, to just see the beauty and the simplicity of it all. And then come together here, Lord, for the foot washing and communion, O God, tonight. I would dearly love to have you impress in my heart and my mind, as I believe everyone would, to realize, Lord, the little water in the basin could signify that the water's to the ankles. And then it went further to the knees and up to the hips, waters to swim in, and now waters to carry us over. But it just started with a little basin, with a little water. But tonight, Lord, the floodgates from your holy temple, from your holy self, Lord, flowing for the people to cleanse them and bring, take them across. How soon? We believe it's going on now. Marvelously closing out to the end when there's a bride going to come from the dust and those here change them each in the air. And now, Lord, as we remember your death, the shed blood, the broken body, remember the Passover. And it becomes significant too, Lord, because you are our Passover. We know it by the fact that you're proving your resurrection amongst us by the Holy Spirit. Father, taking complete control for you, blessed Lord Jesus Christ, now on his throne. And now we're waiting to meet you. Changed to be like you. You in our midst, giving praise unto the Father, not ashamed to call us brethren. Help us to be in that particular frame tonight, Lord, and let it not just be impressed by words tonight and little superficial coloring of the mind, but God, let it go right down into our hearts. Please, Lord, remove by your sacred blood the life in that blood, every ring of unbelief from our hearts tonight. That blood can soften any rock. God, let us soften our hearts tonight. So every word is a welcomed word to our hearts. And our faith spring forth like the noonday sun. We don't want to be anybody, Lord, in ourselves or accomplish anything of ourselves or to be in any way apart from you. We just pray, Lord, if you'd be just so kind to let your light.